Today's scripture reading is 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 5. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 5. Finally, brothers, I pray for us that the word of God may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in our Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ.
I want to say just a few words of introduction to Scott. I'm sure all of you know Scott is Becky's brother. I've known Scott for almost 39 years. Scott has long been laboring in preaching the gospel in South Africa for years and years. I don't know how many years. He's been working with the Zulu Nation near Natal in South Africa for quite some time. Unfortunately, things there have deteriorated to the point to where he no longer feels like it's safe for him to be there, so he has relocated himself and his family to Florida. But before he left, he became involved in taking the gospel to a country just a little bit north of South Africa called Botswana. And we have been helping him in making trips there. And as a result, we've asked Scott to come and to give us some information about his time there, the results of his work, and I guess probably some of the details of the adventures and misfortunes that he's had in his trips up there. So I'm not going to take up any more of his time. I'm just going to turn everything over here to Scott and let him tell you about his times in Botswana.
Dumelara, Dumelama. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Fache lena, Larona, Kempo ya Modimo, Tahong, Tahong, Bana Tahong, Og Wamhaba, Imang Basida, Imang, Shla Falahang, Re Kopana, Le Chodrala Modimo. Africa, the very first thing that comes to your mind upon hearing the word is war, famine, and disease. I'll be the very first to admit that Africa is not for sissies. My body is marked with scars, each telling its own story. Leeches and close encounters with the wild while out teaching in the Okavango Delta. On a Sunday morning, while you may dress up in your finest and enter into a climate-controlled building and sit down on padded pews, we oftentimes paddle for hours each way in a Makoro dugout canoe, dressing down in our refugee zip-off trousers. At the riverbank, we embrace the chief and we sit down on a plastic tarpaulin that has been spread out on the acacia-laden ground underneath a sausage tree. As the temperature heats up to over 40 degrees Celsius, sweat pours down our face, our neck, and our back. Flies begin to swarm over our head and crawl on our hair and our legs. Unabashedly, we proclaim the one gospel and God's amazing plan of salvation. You would not be listening this morning if you did not find Africa a tantalizing teaching prospect. Its raw nature, the certainty of stimulating teaching encounters, and the likelihood of tough traveling conditions. Even a short journey can be a physical challenge. making it a strong lure for adventurous Christians wanting to make a difference for the Lord. For the next few minutes, experience Botswana. Awesome teaching opportunities, extreme challenges. Join us in this journey of a lifetime. Each month offers something different in the Okavango Delta, where the annual flood dominates the seasonal calendar, complicating the otherwise simple, rainy, summer versus dry winter patterns. The Okavango Delta is a massive 1,500 square kilometer inland wetland in the center of the Kalahari Basin. Here, the Okavango dumps water that has been collected from rains in the highlands of the Angola River. And each March, the floodwaters arrive in the panhandle and begin their slow infiltration to the rest of the delta, filling lagoons and channels and spilling down into the floodplains. The Hambagushu and the Bai'i tribes live in reed huts, making up the many villages along the delta, and it is here that the Lord has opened up a great door of opportunity for the gospel to be preached for the very first time. Last year, an initial trip was made into Botswana. Beginning at ground zero, contacts were made with bush pilots, lodge owners, chefs, as well as Makoto polers and guides. And through networking, these men agreed for me to be able to sit down and teach them the gospel truth, to be invited into their villages, to meet their family and their relatives, and to serve as interpreters into the Swana tongue. Lanes are null and void as vehicles push their way into any given gap. The most important tool when driving in Mound, which is the gateway to the Okavango, is the hooter on your 4x4. Indicators are something that is rarely used, so the hooter is utilized in order to notify other drivers of your whereabouts. The blind spot is also something that is commonly forgotten, and with no windows to worry about, limbs hang out and people are happy and calm. Even if one is cut off or their car is bumped, locals merely raise their hands in a gesture of apology and they carry on. There are no hard feelings here. I sit back trying to absorb the calm nature of it all. Looking around at my brethren in Christ, I smile and relax. After clearing the traffic and the chaos of town, we head out onto the narrow dirt roads as we drive north to Gomiland and the remote villages making up the Okavango Delta. The 7-hour drive is arduous at best. Roads consisting of deep sand and are very challenging, having to maneuver around wild as well as domestic animals, as there are no fences in this part of the world. A giant baobab is our very first landmark. A few kilometers more and we turn into a smaller path consisting of very deep sand. We cross over the floodplain and we head towards the Guma Lagoon. We finally arrive at Kaucha, which is the Bushman term for a place of water. A farmer by the name of Khaltu Sung is the very first to approach us and request that we teach him about the Christ. Khaltu Sung is very excited and wants us to follow him into the nearby village, where he invites his friends and his family to hear the message of salvation concerning Jesus, the Son of God. John Sechego, who is my interpreter, is very animated and he takes the lead by introducing us and the one gospel. The crowd, as you can imagine, are mesmerized by his every word, endeared to John, having a long rapport with him as one of the locals. I take note of those who have gathered. There are men and women of all ages, mothers who are breastfeeding their babies, and young barefoot children. A simple lesson about the living God and his amazing plan of salvation is presented. Preaching by fire is a very common tactic used by denominational preachers who come through and use extortion in order to rob the locals of their hard-earned money. And so therefore one has to gain the trust of the people and let them know that you are merely here in order to offer them the free gift of salvation. 17 are so impressed with what they hear in the 3 hours of teaching that they sincerely confess Christ as their Savior, as their Son, as the Son of God, and are taken to a nearby lagoon for baptism. Botswana's sparkling lagoons and lush islands, as well as its rolling savannas, are arresting in their own right. But it's witnessing the individual relationship between the Humbugushu and the Word that truly brings about a sense of perspective and majesty to the continent's epic landscapes. When I first of all met John in Maun, we were able to teach once more and edify the brethren. His wife, as well as his sister and his brother, all obeyed the gospel shortly thereafter. Driving northwest, we visited the churches in Eta 13 as well as Shikawe in the north. John and I spend several weeks at a time teaching and exhorting the brethren who have already been added to the body of Christ, being sure to emphasize the necessity of the men who are in the congregation to be able to gain a thorough understanding of the truth and to be able to share it with their brothers and sisters in Christ every Lord's Day. We typically arrive in a village and go to the very center where there may be a hawker who is selling vegetables or some fruit. And from there we walk from house to house, kilometer after kilometer, encouraging all to come and hear the one true word which is going to be taught at the main taxi rank and the shopping malls in the village later of the afternoon. We also are able to meet Lucky, a local boat guide, who invites us to come and teach in the nearby village of Komiseri. As a result of teaching Christ and the kingdom of God, some 53 are added unto the Lord's church. So what is it that you may think makes Botswana so special? Primarily, it's people who are so welcoming, peaceful, loving to show off their hospitality and a readiness to listen unto the word of Christ Jesus. When invited into their home for a simple meal of goat and sump, the perfect opportunity in order to preach Christ presents itself. In addition, northern Botswana is virgin territory for the gospel, for the purpose of reaching out to myriads of lost souls. With the word, Botswana has to be my go-to answer. John, my Setswana guide, and I develop a rhythm as the first threads of pink dawn inch their way brearily across the sky. We enter into the Okavango River and we make our way through the channels of the delta to the villages of remote islands. There are hippos and elephants and red leechwe that are feeding in the cool morning as eager locals pull out their dugout canoes from the muddy banks in order to begin their day of fishing and cutting reeds for their homes. Following a morning teaching session, we escape from the sweltering heat and rest under a baobab for a few hours. In the late afternoon, whenever it cools down below 105 degrees, we venture out again on foot unto a group of huts on the outskirts of the village, finding yet more interested hearers in the word. Our essentials are nothing more than a backpack containing biltong, some dried meat, trail mix, and a life straw for purifying the water that we oftentimes have to drink directly out of the river. One of the villages in the Tocito Hills is home unto the traditional Bushman. The dialect is so complicated, consisting of clicks, that we resort to teaching by drawing images in the sand of the Creator, of the flood, of the necessity of sacrifices to be made for the atonement, and the sheep, Jesus Christ, who was the final sacrifice, and God's plan of saving man from his sins and being able to escape the second death. Driving north, we enter into the village of Samochima, which means the place of the heart. John introduces us immediately unto the head chief, who gives us permission to be able to teach among his people. This is so important, to be able to gain the trust of the village leaders, who in turn encourage the people to listen carefully and to make a determined effort to obey that which they see is in keeping with God's word. Tribesmen from all over the village come to hear the truth being proclaimed. Utilizing the 4x4, we make our way even further east into the Toro Lagoon, away from the deep river. Whenever we lead the people to be baptized, there are women that are screaming and crying as I lead them by the hand into the water. There are many challenges that are there. People do not allow the leeches nor the fear of the crocodiles to keep them from being baptized and to enjoy the remission of their sins. But standing in the water, one immediately feels the leeches as they clamp on to one's skin. I keep a careful eye out all the time for the crocodiles that are lurking ever nearby. In total, 105 were baptized into Christ in March, including Lucky and Salvation, with two more congregations being established of the Lord's Church. Swana Bibles and Benevolence in the form of rice was provided to each of the needy Christians. In my experience, the very best way to remove the stresses of everyday life is to simplify, to have very few personal belongings, to be active in helping others, in sharing the good news of the gospel, and to be passionate about the endeavor of sharing the riches of the glory of Christ with those who have not yet known it. Indeed, sharing the gospel with those who have never heard the truth proclaimed before is fulfilling beyond description. Arriving in Guma by a small bush plane, I arrange for John to join me on a trip further east. However, due to the rains and the flooding of the plains, we are prevented from driving across to Soronga during the rainy season. But now, whenever we arrive, the waters have receded, and they allow us to drive through the wildlife concession, which is heavily populated by herds of elephant. The people in their simple huts have wire that is surrounding their homes. Tin cans and cold drink bottles sway in the wind, keeping the elephants from coming in and stampeding while they are tending to their vegetables in their gardens. Unfortunately, John's nephew, who was supposed to meet us and to introduce us to some of the further areas out at the cattle posts, was murdered, and his body was found hung upon a rope. He had been completely dismembered, his body parts and his organs being sold unto a local mongoma or a witch doctor. This is oftentimes done in order to offer wealth as well as good wishes for the people who are involved in such an activity. This, however, presented an opportunity that was unique in and of itself. Funerals are never a one-day affair, but it is rather that which oftentimes goes on for as long as 6 or 7 days. And we arrived on the 7th day, and there were tents and there were cots that were laid out with hundreds of people from the village that were there. And John said that it was customary that we go and speak to every individual that was there. Not just shaking hands, but embracing them and hugging them. And after we had been able to speak to each and every person and let them know concerning our purpose for being there in the village and offering our condolences for the passing of John's 25-year-old nephew, we were invited to sit down for a meal. I was a bit apprehensive at first as I looked up into the tree and as I noticed the carcass of a cow that had been sitting there for the entire week. It was moving at first glance as one looked upon it, and it was evidently the maggots and the flies that were now decomposing the flesh. The meat was hacked and it was placed into boiling pots, and as the mixture heated up, the worms floated to the top and they were scraped off by sticks and thrown onto the ground whereby the dogs would be able to eat as well. After that meal, I got ready to enter into the truck and said, John, Scott, you need to wait a minute. The culture of the people is that you must go back now and you must individually say goodbye to the very same people that we said hello to hours earlier. But as a result, even though John's nephew's spirit was not there, his body and his passing presented a wonderful opportunity to be able to let people know of our love for them and our desire for them to come to know the truth. And the very next day, there was indeed a very large gathering of people that had come in order to hear the word of God proclaimed. There were some 39 that were taken unto the water and were baptized. And there was a great rejoicing throughout that village with the people singing and talking about it. And even as we left in order to head further south, there were people running down the road after us, telling us that they wanted us to return as quickly as possible. John and I then returned further south, and we met up with KK, who is one of the channel cutters. The papyrus in the Okavango has a tendency of encroaching and completely covering up the waterways through the river itself. And so of a necessity, people must go out on a daily basis with a panga and cut open these waterways. KK is one of these individuals that we've been able to teach and who knows so many in the various lodges as people come from all over the world in order to experience the magnificent sighting of the wild animals in Botswana. It was here, however, in Eta 6, that I was arrested by the police and taken and put in prison for preaching the gospel and ordered to appear before the chief elder, the head of the police. It was a very scary and intimidating experience. However, after apologizing and letting them know that we were unfamiliar with the proper protocol, we were given the chief's blessing. We were able to teach Christ, and there were some 42 that were obedient unto the word of the gospel that was taught that day. The logistics were very complicated to be able to drive out to the body of water, and so therefore we hired a cart driver with several donkeys, as well as a man in town that hauled lumber with his Land Rover. And during the course of the day, we were able to take turns and to make sure that everyone was properly baptized after confessing their faith and understanding what was going to be involved in the change in their life going forward. And even as John and KK were taking turns going out into the lagoon and doing the baptizing, I was able to spend time teaching the cart driver as well as the driver of the truck the gospel. And at the end, they too requested to be baptized. A journey through Jau unto the delta, unto the islands in the very remotest region, normally takes 2 to 3 hours at best. On several occasions, John, Salvation, and I had to jump over into knee-deep water in order to push the boat free of the sandbars that had formed. Crocodiles on the river bank slither into the water as we approach. Suddenly, in the narrow papyrus-fringed channel, a pair of ears and eyes splash out of the water. "Hippo," our boatman proclaimed. Salvation shouted with a tangible fear as he instantly retreated underwater. only to unintentionally jab the unseen animal with his pole as we were able to move unharmed straight over it. Fortunately, the obliging hippo stayed submerged and allowed us to pass onto the broader waters, allowing us to paddle the rest of our way unto Jowl. Arriving there, our children, who run along the river's edge, and they shout with glee, "Dumalara! Dumalara!" as we approach. Fishermen in their nets wave heartily, and they welcome us into their isolated, waterlocked village. The second day of teaching brought many women and men unto the river's edge, confessing their faith in Christ. The Lord has opened the hearts of men and women, and some 16 were baptized for the remission of their sins. I'd already been warned by John and by the other men in the local village that this was an area that was prone unto very venomous vipers and to be careful where I was standing. No sooner, one of our sisters in Christ fell to the ground screaming and holding onto her leg. There was a boomslang, one of the most dangerous of the Botswana snakes, that slithered off into the grass. A traditional witch doctor was summoned who applied a muti, a mixture of various barks from the trees, unto the wound as well as that which was taken internally in order to slow down the blood flow long enough to have an antivenom to be flown from Maun. Our sister still survives the day, although she walks with a limp. At this stage, we have no more Bibles. However, the names of all of those who had been added to the Lord through an obedience of the simple plan of the gospel, their names have been written down in a notebook, and we provide a baptism certificate as well as photos of the baptism, and we will be sure whenever we are there the next time to be able to make up the deficit of the 80-some who had not yet received their Bibles so that they can continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Christians continue to implore for us to please come back and to bring more Bibles with them. On our way back unto the mainland, James, Salvation, Lucky, and I stop at a smaller island in order to eat a sandwich. We view a pot of hippopotamus that are nearby, and a Makoto polar who has his tent erected nearby comes out of the bush, and he joins us for a sandwich and to hear a message from God's word. Upon leaving, Babushla, the polar, is baptized. We are able to embrace him and let him know that within a month or two, we'll be back once again. So here is a challenge indeed. It is a field that is virtually untouched, where many thousands of all races can be taught the gospel for the very first time. What a joy to be able to preach the gospel to those who are hearing it in its simplicity for the very first time in their lives. Our aim in Botswana remains the same as when we first proclaimed the gospel. We believe that Paul's method of establishing churches continues to be eminently right and scriptural. We're humbly teaching the disciples here that they must produce from among themselves men who are qualified as elders and deacons to be able to shoulder their own financial responsibilities and to sound forth the word of God from their borders. Over the last year, we have had the joy of witnessing 234 to obey the gospel, resulting in many new churches of the Lord along the Okavango River in the delta of Botswana. As the men grow spiritually, they in turn are able to take over the teaching responsibilities, allowing us to focus our attention unto other villages which have not yet had the privilege of hearing the word of God taught. I work very closely with my trusted guides and interpreters, John, James, Lucky, KK, and Salvation, who are my translators and now my good brothers in Christ Jesus. I continually thank the Lord for the strength that I have and the opportunities that He has provided us to be worn out in His kingdom. The Lord's work in Botswana is epitomized by challenges with it. Exceptional rewards. There have been some 6 churches of the Lord that have been established. As one is able to note down in the south at the airport of Mound, the very gateway of the Okavango, we are able to travel west, and then we go up, first of all, to the villages of Eta 6, of Eta 1, of Eta 13. We're able to cross over into the Guma Lagoon and then head over into the remote islands of Jau. We are then able to head back unto Sapupa, unto Hamaseri, to Shikawe, and up at the very north near Angola by the Caprivi Strip. This is the Mohembo Ferry, which was able to take one truck at a time, and we're able to cross over and begin our long, arduous journey along the NG-12 concession that is given over to large herds of elephants going to Saronga and then over into Beta. It is therefore these areas of Mound, of Eta 13, of Amaseri, Shikawe, and of Beta and Jau, that the Lord's church is now firmly established. A tremendous door of opportunity has been opened by the Lord. Here am I, send me. I want to thank you for the fellowship that you and I have been able to be enjoined in. We are truly fellow workers together. Tickets have already been purchased. A 4x4 has been reserved. Tent grounds have been booked that I might be able to take my 2-man tent along with me. I depart for the Okavango Delta on 1 January, and this unique opportunity presents itself to make life-changing differences in the lives of the Bayi, the Humbugushu, and the Bushman people. I'm appealing unto you for 100 additional Setswana Bibles, as well as 50 pairs of the shoe that grows. These are shoes that enable a 5 to 10-year-old child to be able to wear the same pair of shoes for 5 years, having notches allowing the shoe to grow lengthwise as well as widthwise. And then I also have a larger pair of shoes that I'm able to take for those who are 10 to 15 years of age. I carry these in a duffel bag with me. Some 50 are able to accompany me on the aircraft from Johannesburg up to Maun, and after these ones have been added to the Lord's church and demonstrate a faithfulness, we are able to provide these to the Christian families. I want to commend you for the fellowship in this pioneering work of the Lord's work in northern Botswana. And I want to emphasize unto you that without your assistance, without your prayers and your financial assistance, without your letters of encouragement, we would not have been able to have accomplished all that has been done in the Lord's kingdom. Finally, brethren, may the word of the Lord run swiftly and his grace abound, even as it has with you. Gila Bocha. Thank you.